Thank you, Nancy. Glad you got that reference. Good morning, everyone. It's lovely to see everyone here. We'll dedicate that song to the Women's March yesterday and all of those who were there. It was a great experience. Lovely to see every one of you here this morning. Thank you for being here. Please rise in body or spirit and we'll go join me in the first hymn, which is Morning Has Broken, hymn 38, in this bluish-grayish hymnal, depending on your hue.
Unitarian Universalist congregations begin our services by lighting a chalice. And now Ike Eichsted will light our chalice. Thank you, Ike. And now please join me in reading the chalice lighting words, which are in your order of service. With the kindling of this flame, we affirm our commitment to accept life's gifts with grace and gratitude, and use them to bless the world in the spirit of love. Good morning. My name is Kathy Kramer, and I'm this morning's lay worship leader. I want to welcome you all to Wildflower Church, a Unitarian Universalist congregation. And now, can I just, if you participated in a rally or march this weekend, would you please stand up? And stay standing. If you have called or written your senator or representative in the last couple weeks, join them in standing. And if you have signed a petition in the last few weeks, join them in standing. Folks, this is what democracy looks like. Thank you. Now, notice I didn't ask what issue you supported. That's because, as Unitarian Universalists, our beliefs are diverse and inclusive. We have no shared creed. What we do agree on, among other things, is the democratic process. You can find what else we stand for in the list of our seven principles on the back of your order of service. We welcome you. Your whole self, with all your truths and doubts, all your worries and hopes. I want to give a special welcome to our first-time and returning visitors. Please be sure to join us after the service for refreshments and conversation in the community room, which is the building to your left as you exit the sanctuary. And as we note in the order of service, assisted hearing devices are available in the foyer, so if you'd like to use one, a greeter will help you. Now let's take a moment to welcome the people sitting near us, especially those you don't know well. There'll be plenty more time for that in the community room after the service. Now, if you would, please remain seated and join me in reading the responsive reading printed in your order of service. I will read the standard type, and you respond with the type in italics. From the loneliness of troubled times, we come. Into the dwelling place of togetherness, we come. From fear that all is lost, we come. Into the comfort of each other's arms, we come. From darkness we come. Into the refuge of fading dreams we come. From despair that walks alone we come. Into the dwelling place of generations we come.
An important element of Unitarian Universalism is religious freedom. Many of you may remember back in January 7th this year, the Islamic Center of Lake Travis construction was burnt down. They reckon there was about $400,000 worth of damage. There's an investigation going on. We do not know if it was set deliberately, but I know my mind, like many of yours, maybe that's the first place it went to in these times where there seems to be a lot of Islamophobia and hostility, I would say, towards anything other than mainstream religion. We are going to have a special offering today. They've got a GoFundMe site. They're trying to raise money from their local community as well as nationally. We're going to have a special offering today for the Islamic Center of Lake Travis to help them rebuild that center. In 2011, when there was fires out in Lake Travis, Muslim children raised numerous money for the homes that were destroyed, and that was the birthing of the Islamic Center of Lake Travis. Now that they have suffered the same consequence of fire, I hope the wider community will reach out in a similar way to the Muslim children in 2011. I ask you to look into your heart and be as generous as you can. The special offering will now be given. If you're writing checks, make it out to Wildflower Church, and in the note line, write special offering for Islamic Center. And please give as generously as you can and show them the solidarity and support that other religious communities feel towards our Muslim neighbors. Thank you very much. Thank you for your generosity. I invite children of all ages, 1 through 99, forward for the Words for All Ages. They're hiding in the corner. I'm not sure what they're doing. Oops. Good morning, everyone. Good morning. Thank you. Well, this story actually comes from India, and it's one of my favorite stories. And it's about this village who has this really, really wise, wise old woman. And everyone likes her. You know, when people, ever anyone has a problem, if someone's ill, they go and ask her for her opinion, and she'll come up with some recipe or medicine to help them. And then if someone's got a problem with another person, like they're really mad at them, they'll go and talk to her, and she will find a solution. She's really wise, and she really helps everyone just to get along well. Except there's one person, this young boy. He's kind of jealous of her because he's really smart and wise too, but he's a little jealous of her. So he decides, I'm going to prove that I'm smarter than her. So he'd go with all his friends and knock on the door, and the old woman would come, yes, and he would ask her all these questions, and she'd always be able to answer them. And he was getting really frustrated, but then he finally came up with a plan that he thought, now, this plan is foolproof. I can definitely prove I'm smarter than her. So he captures this bird, and he goes up, knocks on the door, and puts his hands behind his back and says, what have I got behind my back? And the woman listens, and she hears this rustling of wings and goes, you've got a bird behind your back. And he went, how did you know that? You couldn't see. She goes, well, I'm a wise old woman. And he goes, okay, but I've still got my foolproof plan. He says to himself, is the bird alive or dead? Because he's a wee bit mean, because he says if the woman says it's alive, he's going to squash it and kill it. But if she says it's dead, he's going to let it go. And the old woman looks deep into his eyes and goes, the answer to that lies in your hands. And the boy looks at and goes, oh, and then he realizes, he pulls the bird forward, and he realizes what he was doing was wrong, and he lets the bird go and says, I'm very sorry for what I was thinking of doing to you, and lets the bird fly away. Then he looks at the old woman and said, you really are wise, and I apologize to you for being jealous. And the old woman says, that's great, you are wise, because people think wisdom's about what you know, but it's about the choices you make. And you made a really compassionate choice, and that makes you wise and powerful, and that's what we all want to be. So thank you so much for listening. It's time for your religious education class now, and if you could walk, Grace.
Now and peace. Good morning. First, I can't help but celebrate the Women's March yesterday in Austin. I understand it might have been the fourth largest in the country, between 40 and 50,000 people. And I just would love the people who participated to stand. And as I did, really, what? You did that. Oh, well, don't stand again, but you can tell I've been a little bit distracted this morning. I just recall that at the end of the march, there were some of us, many of whom I see in this room, that just stood in the middle of the street with a group hug and just felt the hope that sprung from being part of that experience. So thank you. We have lots of ways to get involved in justice work in this community that's coming up very soon. This Thursday, January 28th at 8:30, there'll be a benefit concert for the Austin Sanctuary Network at First UU. Carrie Newcomer is the featured singer-songwriter, and tickets are available online at the door, so visit their website, and I think there's information about that. Also on Saturday, probably right here in the sanctuary, Media Benjamin, one of America's most committed and most effective fighters for human rights and founder of Code Pink, and Anne Wright, retired U.S. Army colonel and former diplomat known for resigning from the State Department in opposition to the Iraq War, will speak here on U.S. foreign policy in a Trump administration. That's this coming Saturday, 7 o'clock to 9:30 p.m. And then on Wednesday, the following Wednesday, February 1st, join the Texas Advocates for Justice and Grassroots Leadership from across this, and other groups from across the state to demand an end to the mass deportation and incarceration policies that devastate our communities. This will take place in Austin starting at 9:30 a.m. at the corner of San Jacinto and 4th Streets, and there'll be a march to the Capitol, a rally on the south steps of the Capitol, and many other kinds of things, including a time to visit legislators. So there's lots going on now in the justice arena, lots of immigration-related components. We will, on this campus in February, have Austin Sanctuary Network and grassroots leadership Sanctuary in the Streets training. And if anybody's interested in that, please contact me. Faye Maxwell and Susan Lippman are here to talk to about some of the other events that I've mentioned. As a transition, we're also doing some spiritual growth work here in this community. And Aaron, our ministerial intern, will be holding a spiritual growth workshop next Sunday from 1:30 to 3:30 in our community room. And so please come and explore spiritual practice from all faith traditions, and you'll have a great time with Erin. She really does a very, very effective workshop in tapping what you need for spiritual growth. And Tommy.
I just wanted to remind everyone again about the survey that opened up earlier this week. To please go out and fill that out. We have already about 35 responses, which is a really good start. And I think I failed last week to tell you that this is regarding basically assessing how we are doing versus our strategic plan. So please take a few minutes to do that. If we get 75 responses on February 11th, we're going to have a dessert party. And please do not make me eat that by myself. Thank you.
Hi. So who here wouldn't want to hear a brief history of the Unitarian Universalism and its values? Really, who wouldn't? Who wouldn't want to hear a history of the Wildflower Church, its mission, vision, values, and covenant of right relations? Really, nobody here. Who wouldn't want to know about all the Wildflower Church programs that we have going on for both adults and for children? Who wouldn't? Who wouldn't want to know about our justice work? Who wouldn't want to know about the requirements to become a member of Wildflower Church? So if any of those things just pique your interest a little bit, know that all of you are invited to attend a new member orientation on March 26th from 1:30 to 3:30. But you don't have to be ready to sign on the dotted line. You can come just for the information. However, if you are ready to become a member, then it's a prerequisite. So what do you have to do? Let us know. Let us know if you're interested, and you'll be hearing more about it between now and then. But gosh, we have lunch, child care is provided, and you'll have many great presentations on those topics from members and from Reverend Brian. So more to come. Thanks.
I do want to point out, we do have some meetings without food. I've just never been to one of them. So. I do want to just call people's attention. You maybe saw the paramedic van out there. Our director of religious education, Penny Burnett, fell and injured her arm and had a bad reaction. She has been, as far as I know, she's okay, but she's been taken by the paramedics. So let's keep Penny in our thoughts, and let's take a few moments to send good thoughts to Penny at this time. Thank you. I want to thank the people who were with her and were able to arrange. I know Faye and Dee were both involved with that, so thank you. I invite you now to join me in the spirit of prayer and meditation and reflection. These are the words of Loretta Williams, who was the first African-American to sit on the Unitarian Universalist board. We, the bearers of the dream, affirm that a new vision of hope is emerging. We pledge to work for that community in which justice and love will be actively present. We affirm that there is struggle ahead. Yet we know in that struggle there is hope for the future. And we affirm that we are co-creators of that future and not passive pawns. And we stand united in affirmation of our hope and vision for a just and inclusive community. We affirm the unity of all persons. We affirm brotherhood and sisterhood that allows us to touch upon each other's humanity. We affirm a unity that opens our eyes, our ears, and our hearts to one another. We open our ears and eyes and hearts to see the different but common forms of suffering and pain. Yet we are all one in the image of God. And we celebrate our hopes for human unity. Within ourselves and within this gathered community, we will discover the strength not to hide in indifference. Affirming that hope publicly expressed energizes and enables us to move forward together. And we pledge to transcend barriers, be they racial, political, economic, social, or religious. We pledge to make our tomorrows become our todays. I invite you to join me in silence. Blessed be and amen.
We say in our church that the offering is a sacrament of the free church. What we mean by that is that we believe it is a blessing to be able to govern and support our religious community ourselves, that our generosity makes everything we do possible. Every week, we lift up the spiritual value of generosity by taking an offering for the many ministries of this church. If you are visiting with us today for the first time, please let the plate pass, as your presence here is gift enough. The offering will now be given and gratefully received.
Our worship theme for the spring is reaching in to reach out, reaching back to reach forward. And the reaching back to reach forward is to help us connect more with the liberal religious history that we have, specifically Unitarian Universalist and Unitarian Universalist. So this morning's reading comes from Hosea Ballou, who is probably one of the most influential 19th century Universalists and really set the Universalist side of a movement on its path, moving away from this idea of a judgmental and punishing God to a loving God where all people would be saved. It created this radical egalitarianism that's still influential in our movement. And he wrote a treatise on atonement in 1805, and this is an excerpt from it. Man's major goal in all he does is happiness, and were it not for that, he never could have any other particular goal. What would induce men to form societies, to be at the expense of supporting government, to acquire knowledge, to learn the sciences, or till the earth, if they believed they could be as happy without as with? The fact is, man would not be the thing he is now, as there would not be any stimulus to action. Men are never without this grand goal, so they are never without their wants, which render such a goal desirable. But their minor goals vary and their passions differ. Then, says the objector, there is no such thing as disinterested benevolence. The objector will say, to admit that our happiness is the grand goal of all we do destroys the purity of religion and reduces the whole to nothing but selfishness. To which I reply, a man acting for his own happiness, if he seeks it in the heavenly system of universal benevolence, knowing that his own happiness is connected with the happiness of his fellow men, which induces him to do justly and to deal mercifully with all people, he is not more selfish than he ought to be. But a man acting for his own happiness, if he seeks it in the narrow circle of partiality, his selfishness is irreligious and wicked. Those are the words of Hosea Ballou. I would like to call attention to the language, the sexist language of man there. I think we know in the spirit of universalism, he meant people.
When I imagine what the authors of the Declaration of Independence meant by the phrase, the pursuit of happiness, I imagine that they were talking about having the freedom to pursue the job you want, live in the house you want, have the life you want. In essence, the American dream. If you work hard enough, you will find financial success and personal satisfaction. I've never been motivated much by money, but I have definitely enjoyed working hard. In high school, I was the definition of overachiever. I'm sure you're shocked to hear that. I graduated fifth in my class, was named Youth of the Year, and participated in countless clubs, leading many of them. I was deliriously happy. But it wasn't a peaceful happiness. It was a high. Being busy and achieving was my drug. I was addicted to the feeling of accomplishment. And the minute the applause was over for one accomplishment, I sought out the next. I needed it. Things weren't quite that bad in college, but the addiction was still there. Part of the reason I went to law school was just because it gave me more opportunities to work hard and get good grades. More opportunities to measure my accomplishments and feel successful and happy. Once I was out of school and the easy measurements for accomplishment were gone, I broke down. I had no idea what to do anymore. It took a long time for me to learn that I had an addiction and to recover from it. You may look at me today and think that I'm still the same person, still busy, still accomplishing things, but it's completely different today than it used to be. I'm different. I no longer need to achieve to feel happy. These days, I find happiness in connection. Whether it's a conversation with someone, a book or a song, or participating in a march or a rally, those things that make me feel connected to my world and those around me, those things that help me remember that I am not alone in my struggles and we're all in this together, those are the things that bring me happiness today. It's no longer a high. It's, as the Eagles would say, a peaceful, easy feeling. Whatever I accomplish these days is just a means to that end. It may not be what Thomas Jefferson envisioned, but I like to think he would approve. Now please rise and join us in singing "This Land Is Your Land." The words are printed in your order of service.
That was fun. Thank you, Dana, Jason, and Elke, for blessing us with the music this morning. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Familiar to anyone? The U.S. Declaration of Independence, 1776. You know you were being independent from my lot. You realize that? I often get asked by churches, Unitarian Universalist churches, to preach on the 4th of July. And I don't know if you know, but the Romans, when they had actually vanquished their foes, would have the leaders of their foes come in and speak in front of the Roman people, lauding them as how worthy they were. And I can't help feeling, as a British person on 4th of July, that's what Unitarian Universalist churches do to me. But one of the things I realized, I visited Washington, D.C. only one time. It was about 15 years ago. My partner, she had a reunion there, and I went there and absolutely loved it. And Natalie, my partner, asked me, said, "What do you think of Washington, D.C.? And it was really the first time I'd ever really been to a kind of purpose-built capital. And I said, you know, what it really strikes me is the United States was founded on ideals. It really was founded on ideals. Not that we have always lived up to them. We certainly have plenty of checkered places in our history. But it was founded on ideals, whereas for most of Europe, your country was basically the last war that was fought. And you don't have that sense of being created with an ideal. And I look at United States as ideals. Well, here we are in 2017, and we've just had a new president elected. And I'm not sure about this pursuit of happiness thing. Now, I'm Scottish. We don't do happiness. We're kind of grumpy. And we've taken cynicism and sarcasm to a fine art. That is the sweet spot of my skill set, is sarcasm. So this pursuit of happiness, I'm not sure that really makes sense. And I think many in our country might be feeling the same way. But just to prove that I'm not alone here, in the British Journal of Medical Ethics, there's a psychologist, and his abstract, he wants happiness defined as a psychiatric disorder. This is not an Onion article. This was in the Journal of Medical Ethics, and here's what the abstract says. It is proposed that happiness be classified as a psychiatric disorder. In a review of the relevant literature, it is shown that happiness is statistically abnormal, It's associated with a wide range of cognitive abnormalities and probably reflects the abnormal functioning of the central nervous system. One possible objection to this proposal remains that happiness is not negatively valued. However, this objection is dismissed as scientifically irrelevant. So there you have it. Happiness and the pursuit of it is a psychiatric disorder, so I'm not alone. But it's interesting that phrase, the pursuit of happiness in the Declaration of Independence. Many scholars believe that the origin for that was from, ironically, the English philosopher 100 years earlier, John Locke, who talked about life, liberty, and property, not happiness. So what's this change that happened with Thomas Jefferson going from this idea of property to happiness? Now, John Locke's theory was that property rights were the basis of a good society. And I always liked that verse in "This Land Is Your Land," but the sign that says "No Trespassing" on the other side doesn't say anything. So this land is made for you and me. And the whole idea of property rights is a really interesting element because many cultures don't have this sense of individual ownership. In Gaelic, the native language to Scotland, there's no singular possessive in the language. You can only own things as a clan or a family. There's only this idea of a plural ownership. And that's a mind-boggling idea. I mean, what does it mean where you can't own something as an individual? I mean, so there's many cultures and many indigenous cultures, even in the United States and North America, they had this idea of communal ownership. And even to the degree that some indigenous people said, the land does not belong to us, we belong to the land. They really broke down that boundary between the human being and the land. They really saw us as one. And one of my close friends, who's an ecologist, she never uses the word environment. But she says, we human beings use the word environment to separate ourselves from it. There's the environment, then there's us. She uses the word ecology because that stresses our interrelationship, which is exactly what our seventh Unitarian Universalist principle, when we talk about the interdependent web of all existence of which we are part. So you think about what does the interdependence mean in the idea of property rights and ownership? So it's an interesting idea, but Thomas Jefferson moved away from the idea of property to the pursuit of happiness in the Declaration of Independence. And scholars have a number of theories, but one of the things they worried about, if they really said that all people had the rights to property, property was a requirement to vote. So that means women could vote. That means people without property, the less well-off, could vote. And you have to remember, again, these ideals were kind of flawed, because they did not think they applied to everyone. They applied to all people of property rights. So, you know, all people who own property. And so the idea of pursuit of happiness also seemed a little more virtuous than property. I mean, there's a kind of crassness to property. But I think from a religious point of view, if you look at the Declaration of Independence, it says that we are endowed by our Creator. And Unitarian Universalists can take that endowed by a Creator to many places. But the ideal is, it's a religious statement that we have these rights and entitlements by our very existence, not because we earned them. And in a religious term, that would be called grace. We get these gifts that we do not earn. And the fact that they talk about life, which is kind of obvious, liberty, and the freedom and this pursuit of happiness. And I think the liberty thing is a very interesting thing. As I mentioned earlier when I was talking about the Islamic Center, freedom is very important to Unitarian Universalists. And we have to realize that both the Unitarian and Universalist movements really began in the late 18th, early 19th century. And this was shortly after the American Revolution, where the idea of freedom from institutions was very important. And that is a huge part of our identity. We have religious freedoms. We're a religious community of shared values but differing beliefs, and that is okay. There's no creedal test. So that idea of liberty is very important. But we need to take the next step. With that right for freedom and that right for liberty, what's the responsibility? And it's not enough to be freedom from this, freedom from that. That need freedom needs to be for something. So what's that freedom for? The pursuit of happiness? Well, as you probably gathered, I'm not a particular fan of this pursuit of happiness idea. So what's worth pursuing? Because I think happiness is a kind of transitory state. I'm pretty happy when I've got a bar of chocolate, a good bar of milk. I'm happy. But it's usually a transitory state. And I know in our mission statement for this church, we talk about spreading love, justice, and joy. I think joy is very important because I think joy is more grounded in meaning and purpose. Happiness is this transitory state that many of us, we occasionally experience. We have these great moments of connection with family, with friends, Dana singing. We have these great moments of happiness, but really it's not a permanent state. So I think what we need to pursue as people is meaning and purpose. That is what will lead to happiness. That is what's worth pursuing. So I've been really wrestling over the last couple of months with what is worth pursuing in our lives. And I don't think it is happiness. And I think, you know, Kathy touched on this. It's not property either. I mean, property beyond a certain level of being able to clothe ourselves and bringing and having shelter and food, I'm not sure it brings much more happiness. And since the 1950s, if you look at surveys, we have far more property and materials, but we're actually slightly less happy as a nation. So I don't think property is a path to meaning and purpose. And really, in so many ways, I was wrestling with this week, and then yesterday's Women's March really crystallized it for me. And this is going to sound interesting for Unitarian Universalists. I think pursuing power is important. Pursuing agency and power in our lives is what we need to do. Because I look at how upset many of us are as we see those things that we've worked for, of more inclusion, of healthcare, of better education, of taking care of immigrants, of taking care of refugees. As we see these things getting undermined because we do not have the power to address it, we see our values being reduced. So I'm really thinking that we need to start, as a religious movement, having more influence. And I think we need to start pursuing power. And I loved the march yesterday. So how do we take that protest and turn it into power, and turn it into agency for ourselves? Because Alice Walker says, the most common way people give up their power is to think by thinking they don't have any. The most common way people give up their power is to by thinking they don't have any. And we come from a diversity of backgrounds. We have different levels of privilege and power. And power is not a bad thing in itself. Power is just the ability to make things happen, to do things. And I'm moving more and more away with this idea of empowerment. And I know it's one of our wildflower values, but I really, really find it problematic. Because empower says, I am giving you power. And then I can take it away from you. What we need to do as a community and what we need to do as a wider movement is create power. Be co-creators of power in our community and in our country. So on February 5th, I'll be giving another sermon where I'll be doing more analysis around power and how can we create that. But I think that's what we need to pursue, because otherwise our values are not going to go beyond these walls. And there's a lot of pressure coming from the outside to discriminate and to oppress people of color, Muslims, women, as was very apparent at yesterday's Women's March. And I think the energy is there to make a new movement. And part of that collective power is going to ask of us, each of us, to give up something. I think one of the great strains in the progressive movement is we're fragmented. We do not have this consistent set of goals we're working towards. And we even saw that with the march. Yesterday, there was another march on Friday, and people weren't sure which one to go to. We need to become more collectively working together to maximize our power. And I say power to promote our values because it should be grounded in love. It should be grounded in kindness. The best sign I saw yesterday at the march was make America kind again. Let's make America kind again. And I worry, I mean, make America great is, I'm okay with that. Make America great again for whom? Because I don't think America has always been great for people of color. I don't think it's always been great for women. It's not always been great for Latino and Latinas. It's not always been great for the LGBTQ community. That's what our future is. And that is the great divide between the conservative thinkers and the liberal thinkers. The conservatives idealize the past, and the liberals, we idealize the future. But what we want to do is we want to have that vision moving forward. And I'm also finding a lot of struggle around all this talk of resistance. I think that's a dead end. I think we saw resistance over the last 8 years of just preventing things happening. There's a place for resistance to stop things. But we need a glorious vision that we want people to move towards. We want a great land that is talked about in this land as your land. We need to create a vision of hope and of caring and of kindness and of justice, and that's a loving community. That's the vision we need to present. Resistance is not enough. It might be a stopgap, but we need to present a vision beyond that rather than just stop what we don't like. And Unitarian Universalists are often defined by what we're against rather than what we're for. And I ask each of you to look into yourself and what do you want to pursue for yourself? What do you want to pursue for a community? And what vision do you have for that community? That is the work that we're called to do. And Martin Luther King said that power without love is reckless and abusive. And love without power is sentimental and anemic. Power at its best is implementing the demands of justice, and justice at its best is power correcting everything that stands against love. Power without love is reckless and abusive. Love without power is sentimental and anemic. And power at its best is love implementing the demands of justice. And justice at its best is power correcting everything that stands against love. So as we look forward to what we want to pursue, what do we see standing in the way of our love as an individual, as a community, and as a larger movement? And how can we pursue the power to change that? That's a question I want to pursue in the months and years ahead. I invite you to rise in body or spirit and sing 1018 in the teal hymnal, "Come and Go With Me to That Land." Please remain standing. What will be that land, and what do we want to pursue to make that land exist? I ask each of you to pursue your deepest values and find meaning and purpose through that. And as we go to that land, let us remember that we need to go with power, we need to go through love, and we need to go with kindness. Let's make America great for the first time. Go with love, go with peace.